So, it's kind of hard to say, but, I have a problem with my package.
Well, have you heard of Felix? Felix can connect you to a doctor to medically assess erectile dysfunction with no face-to-face conversation, and, if applicable, they will deliver treatment straight to your door.
Wait, so a package for my package?
Yes, a package for your package. From Felix. No appointment, no pharmacy visit, no awkward conversations.
Go to felix.ca/drive to start your online visit.
Wow. Taylor Swift at the Super Bowl.
Halftime,
better
baby.
Better than Paul McCartney.
Wow, you watch your mouth.
I got to tell you guys, you want to talk about something. My day, I wanted to chase a guy down in a rusted out minivan. I was driving. It was my worst nightmare. My worst nightmare came true. And this guy was like, this guy appeared out of my life. All I can describe him as, he was an overdrive character. I'm at a stoplight on Lakeshore. White, rusty minivan rolls down the window, dart, and looks at me and says, "Hazy B is the show, and maybe you're a fraud." I almost drove my car off the road. You know how the cops like T-bone a guy and hit them so they go off the road? This rusty minivan, I wanted to chase the guy down.
That's amazing. Oh, mustache?
You know that motorcycle show where the guy had the handlebar mustache, the
yep.
dad?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was him. He had a skullet up top and a gray mustache handlebar and drove away like thought it was the funniest thing ever.
And yellow fingers, and he gave you one of them.
His hand was in a bag of cheesies for 4 days.
That's my guy, man. That's the Overdrive mascot, and he's a man of the people, and he speaks for the people.
Maybe Hazy is the whole show, and you're a fraud, he says.
You could be one of the options for the Fraudometer, which is getting a lot of feedback.
I invented the segment. I'm not going on it as a Fraudometer.
You might be number three, something on the lower end.
Maybe
number two.
I was looking through the mentions yesterday. Like, there are some great ones that people were writing in. John Spano, do you remember the guy who, like, bought...
I don't remember that. I don't know who that guy is.
Didn't he buy the Islanders for, like, $5,000? Like, they were like, yeah, put $5 million into account. He put $5,000 in.
Yeah.
And he had duped the National Hockey League.
I think they did a financial audit, and he had, like, $85,000 to his name. And somehow, like, that was embarrassing for the league, let's be honest. John Spano's like, all right, I guess I'll try to get in there. I'm pretty sure it was the Islanders. Maybe Nashville? Wasn't there a Nashville story like that, too?
What about Lance Armstrong? Isn't he a fraud?
Well, let me run down a few, because this is something I think we need – people to help us out with, including the guy in the minivan, if he's on Twitter, but I'll bet you he's not. I guarantee you that guy's never been on Twitter.
Oh, he doesn't have a smartphone.
Yeah, he hates it. Flip phone, old school.
He has Mark nothing. Davis. You wouldn't have believed this. It was my nightmare coming to life.
What a beautiful.
And he had this, like, raspy dart voice, and he's like, maybe you're a fraud. And I'm like, I wanted to T-bone the guy. Cops, like, go to the end of the car and T-bone the guy off the road?
Raspy dart voice. Maybe you're a fraud.
Yeah. That is the best.
Hashtag. That made our Friday.
That made our Friday. I'll tell
you
what.
Not mine.
I mean, Hayes, you won the game last night, did you not? Like, that was even a gutless touchdown right at the end of the game.
It really was. Like, it was home free anyway. In large part, because Mitchell Trubisky in a big moment. You talk about Fraudometer. I mean, there's one that's going off the charts.
Yeah.
But if you teased the Steelers, it was just a heartbreaking finale because it pushed the Browns over the number on a tease as well. So it was a wild event, man. Late in that game, it went over the number. But yes, I was on Cleveland, and that's kind of how I saw it playing out. I thought the run game would be there, and I didn't think Trubisky could find a way to win. And listen, I'm 3-3 on my picks. It's not as if I am running the table here, but Team Al Dog is 2-4, and the more I thought about what Al's brother had to say about this Bills Miami game, the more I think the Dolphins are not only going to win, they might cruise, because
what are you talking
the
about?
Bills are dealing with big injuries on the defensive side of the ball, specifically the secondary. Ed Oliver was just announced he is ruled out; he will not play, and that could be concerning. And it really, it's
so
not based on.
Hang on a sec. What do you care? We could make a decision before the game. The ball hasn't been up in the air yet.
Of course. No, you guys already made your call. You picked the Bills yesterday. The point
Dude,
is.
I didn't know that was the rules. We made a pick, but it's not. The game is Sunday. We've
so you're
going to
flip
Sunday
your pick?
We got till Sunday to make an adjustment.
Wow, the fredometer is short-circuiting.
Do you not think that's fair? Like, I don't know. Or we
so you're going to flip your pick after Al's brother said the Bills are a lock and they're going to destroy Miami.
How fair would it be if Josh Allen got sick and tomorrow he said, yeah, I'm flying back to Buffalo, I'm not playing. So what, we're stuck with the pick?
Well, you'd be making the pick today if it weren't for yesterday. It's not like we make the pick Sunday morning. The show's on Monday through Friday. What do you want to do?
Exactly.
Here's my issue with that play. Is I think you're thinking the same way I'm thinking, is that it's the kiss of death. It's Fredo Corleone. Whenever Al's brother says something so definitive, which is what he did yesterday, saying that the Bills are going to crush Miami, you realize that that's a poison pill. It's the worst thing possible. It's just like Seattle opening week. When he said Denver was going to crush them, not only did Seattle cover, they won the game. It is a kiss of death when he says anything with oomph. When he really brings the heat, it is a disaster. And I don't think you should be allowed to flip the pick, but
I guess, in his defense, those injuries that you just mentioned weren't on the table. He didn't know that.
All right,
don't
do you want to flip?
Talk about my guy like that.
Do you want to take Miami?
I got a text with him.
All right.
I got a text with him.
This seems a little bit shady. Noodles, you're awfully quiet over there.
Well, I don't like changing picks. I thought you guys had it in the bag already.
Yeah, but Noodles, there's a lot of things that go on. I mean,
like what? Like
what if you were picking a hockey game and you had Edmonton over so-and-so and McDavid and Draisaitl were healthy scratches before the game? Wouldn't you kind of say, maybe I don't like that one before puck drop?
But
that just
but where
seems
is,
like standard business to me.
I get that, but where's the line? Like, are you allowed to pick right up to
you know what?
The kickoff?
You know what? Forget about it, because I don't want to hear it from this guy, and he'll call us frauds, and he'll call us whatever. I'll text with Al's brother and let him know that we might be in trouble. And we'll leave it at that.
Anything's possible. The Bills are a great team. They've been steamrolling everyone. There's a very – like, Gabe Davis is back. The offensive weapons are available to you guys.
Forget it. They'll win. Miami sucks.
There you go. All right. Wow. I'm basing my analysis purely on what Al's brother has to say. You got to understand that. It's not based on breaking down game tape. It's breaking down his quotes directly. Well,
I think the Finns are frauds.
Yeah, exactly. That's all I needed to hear. Miami, outright, money line.
Grappler just wrote frauds to us. It's not like Josh Allen is ruled out. Like,
no, he's playing.
Yeah, I mean... Why are you so concerned about the Bills all of a sudden?
I'm not. I told you. This guy's making up guys not playing. He's all concerned. How about that? I'm just going to leave it at I'm not concerned whatsoever.
Okay. There you go. Jesse Palmer, we'll see if he's concerned at all. Jesse will join us in about 20 minutes. And we'll see if he has any frauds he'd want to add to the list, because I think something we need to determine here, because we have to have it ready, I think, for Monday, right, do we want to go 1 through 5, 1 through 10, is it only people, or could it be sayings? You know, could there be some sort of option? I was thinking LeBron's hairline could be somewhere on the fredometer.
Ooh, yeah.
What about this term? You'll love this one. Put me down for a bogey. That's fraudulent. Fraudulent. Or breakfast ball. Breakfast ball is a fraud move, for sure.
No, the ultimate fraud move is the breakfast ball per nine. There's a ton of guys that go one on the front, one on the back, and then maybe mix one in between if it's a real skank ball. Like, it's just – I don't mind the breakfast ball because my driving range is kind of out of the way, and it's usually out of the car onto the first tee. Hit a deuce off the tee. But other than that, it's game on.
Right. Yeah, a breakfast ball when it's after lunch on the back nine probably shouldn't be accepted.
Yeah.
But anyway – so there you go. We've got that coming. We played Taylor Swift. Again, the news is out there that she will be playing the halftime show at this upcoming Super Bowl. I don't think it's 100% locked in, but it's moving in that direction. Yeah. And this is where you get the reaction from Minnie Van Guy, from Pinto Ron. It's not about you, right? Like the NFL and Apple Music is not thinking, I wonder if Pinto Ron would appreciate Taylor Swift. It's simply about trying to bring in as many demographics as you can.
Exactly.
You just want a superstar, and it's like it's an event within the whole event. It's totally different than the game itself.
Who did Sir Paul McCartney bring in? Was that the older demographic? Like, is that the people that loved the Beatles?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, right? Probably back in 06 or whatever. It would have been Beatles mania.
Yeah, wasn't Sting involved there too?
I don't know. It was just he came out on a piano. We wheeled out on that thing that was flying out on like 50-yard line, and I just looked at my buddy, and we had the best day of our life. I mean, the best day. It was TPC Sawgrass. It was free food, free booze, everything you ever wanted, and Paul McCartney wheeled out there. I'm like, I'm just not familiar with any of this stuff at all.
Which, again, is just a shocking statement. Yeah. Are you not familiar with the most popular band of all time?
The Beatles.
Of all time.
Dude, I was 30-something years old. It just was not – I was not a Paul McCartney guy. Right. I understand he was on the Beatles. But I'm not a Beatles guy.
Okay. I got it. But I'm sure you recognize the songs. Like, I'm sure when he was playing them, you could have karaoke'd the songs if need be.
Everybody knows a Beatles song. Everybody knows the words to a Beatles song.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just – it's grown up in – like, oh, you're what, 45 years old? Like, it's in your veins somewhere. Like, if you've heard it throughout your lifetime.
You just got to find it. We bring Sir Paul back, maybe with Taylor Swift. Wow. Yeah, I think it's possible. But that'll be a big weekend. The Waste Management going on, which could be a super event. I'm thinking it probably will be, this whole PGA Tour super, you know, boosted events or whatever. We think the Waste Management will be one of those, and the Super Bowl down in Arizona same weekend. So T-Swift rolling through, that's going to be rock star status down there for sure. But Jesse Palmer in about 20 minutes. Scott Mitchell, our Jays reporter, later this afternoon. It's a very simple question for Scotty. If Jose Berríos is on the mound in a big game, do you have faith? Do you trust
I remember Berríos. Not too long ago, it just seemed like where he stunk the joint out. And I said to you, there's something about that performance. I'm not down with it, and it freaks me out a little bit. And it was the first game of the season. You're like, you know what? Forget about it. This guy's going to be awesome this year. He's going to get his starts. He's going to do his thing. What has he had? Like, kind of six quality ones where you're like, that's our guy.
What? Wow.
Yeah, about that. And there's been more awful starts.
Yeah.
There's been some in the middle.
That scares the hell out of me.
It has to be terrifying. It's terrifying.
He kind of got jammed up by his defense last night. Like, in fairness, like those were playable balls, were they not?
He got tagged for six earned runs. So yes, the defense could have helped him in a couple of spots, but it wasn't as if it was an error fest.
No,
you know, it wasn't labeled that anyway. Like, he got clipped for six earned. His ERA is up to 5.27.
Yeah, it's not good. I know.
No, it's a mess.
And that building is a nightmare for them. Like, it's just, that has to be, they're frauds down there. That's a concern.
That is a concern, the idea of playing possibly, you know, three games at the Trop, which is obviously still an option. Any combination of Toronto, Tampa, and Seattle could still, you know, factor into how this is all going to play out. But you look at the stats for Berríos. I saw StatCenter tweeting it last night. So he gave up that solo shot in the first last night. And he has now been taking yard 18 times during away games. So 18 times on the road, he has given up a home run. That has tied him for fourth on the single season franchise pitching list. We're talking Woody Williams, if you remember Woody. And I'm sure you probably tried not to. Woody Williams was an absolute disaster in the late 90s. Calvin Escobar was an absolute mess in the year 2000. Like, that's the company he's in. And with a 5.27 ERA, we are talking one of the worst statistical seasons in Blue Jay history in terms of him start, because he hasn't been injured.
Right.
He's pitching. He's just every fifth day he's out there. He's going to end up with 32 starts, 33 starts. He's got a 5.27 ERA. And the explanation has always been, well, when he's on the mound, even if he gets blown up, they find a way to win. Well, clearly that wasn't the case last night, and his stats speak for themselves. Like, we're talking 7, 8, 9, basically every third time out, the game is almost out of reach by the time you reach the dugout in the second or third inning. And if that's the case in the playoffs,
It's not
it's
good.
It's crushing, man. It's got
to
be.
That's what I get
crushing.
To. That's always the point I get to. It's like, okay, not that good. Then I get concerned long term. I'm like, is this guy going to turn this around? What is the likelihood of it getting turned around? Not for next year. I'm talking 3 weeks from now, come playoff time. Can this guy turn things around if needed? And I'm skeptical. I got to be honest.
You
I'm
have
skeptical.
To be. You have to be. You're right. It's tunnel vision, man. Forget the contract. Forget
forget
years
6
two,
years
three.
From now.
Who cares? What does he do if he's on the mound in the playoffs? And it could be game 3 of the wild card, right? It could be Gausman goes game 1, Manoah goes game 2 or vice versa, and it could be Barrios do or die. What's he got? You know, and ultimately you're praying that it's at the dome because he is statistically better at home. But if it's on the road, if it's at the Trop, it's in Seattle, game 3, and you're praying Barrios can give you something, that is not a good place to be in. Not a good place to be in. And that's what he's been doing all year. And there's no explanation. There's no talking around it. There's no, well, they still wins, you know, blah, blah, blah. His stats are awful. They made him the highest paid pitcher in franchise history. They gave him more term than anyone else. And this is how he's repaid him. And it's not that he doesn't care or they're just working hard or all that. It's just, this is a what are you doing for me now type of business, right? You gotta produce, and Barrios has not produced this year, and last night was ugly, and now they got Mitch White on the mound tonight, and it's like, well, Mitch has got to give you 4 or 5 innings because the bullpen's already fizzling out, so
dude,
we'll see.
I told you, I asked Gully about it. That place, I can't stand that place. I just there's something about the games there. I hate watching them. There's a weird vibe. And it's almost like I just have a negative approach to it, and I know they're going to lose in there. It's frightening.
Well, they had some, like you can see there was Blue Jay fans there. It's not a big crowd. It was very sparse.
8,000 people there last night.
But there, it seemed like people that are in the area from Toronto were there. There was a bunch of Blue Jay fans. But, yeah, it's just a weird, weird building.
It's awful. Like, it's fully domed. You know what it is? I think mentally you know it's beautiful outside of the dome.
Right.
Like it'd be one, if you have a dome and you're in Alaska or something, you're like, I get it. Totally understandable. It's garbage outside. But it's beautiful down there. And you can't see the sun. There's no windows. It's like a Vegas casino. It's awful.
Smoking inside.
Honestly. It's like, that's precisely what it feels like. So we'll see what they got in store tonight. They got 3 more down at the Trop. They're just getting cooking. Mitch White on the mound. Scott Mitchell will join us later this afternoon. Got Mike Johnson coming up. Graham DeLette, the international squad, holding on for dear life at the President's Cup. So we'll catch up with GD a little bit later this afternoon. But Jesse Palmer making his triumphant return. He'll be joining us throughout the NFL season. Get his take on the game last night. How good are the Browns? What happens when Watson returns? Is that a nightmare for the NFL if they're a playoff team and Watson's their quarterback? Because it kind of feels like that's where it's trending. And Mitchell Trubisky is a QB in Pitt, Miami, Buffalo, Rodgers, Brady. There's a lot going on this weekend. And a really strange story coming out of Arizona State about Herm Edwards and his staff possibly throwing him under the bus. We'll tell you about that. We'll get into it with Palmer. God. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Jesse Palmer in a few moments. The Leafs have a split squad game against Ottawa tomorrow. Matt Murray will not play in either game. Not surprised by that.
No.
Not surprised. It'll be Shalgren and Samsonov, and it's early. Murray's going to play on Wednesday. At some point, he's going to play his whole team. That's for sure. You have to believe that's going to come at some point, but he is the number one talking point, I think, once they get on the ice and start playing and practicing, right? See what he looks like, and there'll be overreactions. Either way, if he plays great, if he plays poorly, he's a veteran in the preseason. Like, I'm sure you can speak to it, Noodles, even though it's a new team. You want to play well and look good and all that, but ultimately the result really shouldn't matter that much.
No, but there is some adjustment that comes with it, right? Like, the way they like to defend, even certain things. A shot from the point. Are your D going to box out? Are they going to front the puck? You know, you're stopping the puck behind the net. How are your exchanges going to be? A lot of times you get used to certain guys coming back and the way they like the puck. That takes time. That's a 10 to 15, 20 game adjustment for anybody.
Have you ever had an anticipation, like in this market, I don't know if there's ever been like a more anticipated kind of first preseason period. The first period that this guy goes in the net at home is the intensity will be in the building. Just there'll be all eyes on the guy, man. So what do you got? Like, what do you have?
I think there's only a reaction if he plays poor. I think if he plays fine, then everyone's like, yeah, okay, like that guy's an NHL goaltender, knows how to play.
You know that Eddie Belfour started out his career? He didn't start out very well, and the fans were giving it to him early on. Eddie the Eagle.
Yes, Carey Price.
Eddie the Eagle had to win over the fans. I remember him talking. He's like, yeah, I stunk to join out a couple games, and they were giving it to me.
It is tough.
Eddie the Eagle, they were giving it to him.
Yeah, Carey Price. Remember Carey Price? One of his like most famous sound bites is like, just everyone needs to chill. It was like preseason. He's like, hey, everyone needs to chill. His like,
that was coming off Halak, like, though, wasn't it, when they traded Halak?
They traded Halak, went on the run, I think in like 2011 or something like that. Halak went on that deep run, and then they trade Halak, I think, to St. Louis, and Carey Price is the guy. Can you imagine
Never
if they were like, no, we're keeping
they
Halak.
Were like, they were kind of hee-hawing, like, which one to go?
I agree.
I think the fans were. I don't know. Do you think the team was ever thinking one way or the other? Like, they committed to Price pretty quickly, but that's why he was getting jammed up, because Halak was a god all of a sudden because of what he did. And now it's like, all right, we kept you, Carey. You better know what you're doing. And it started, you know, somewhat ugly. Well. That was just in preseason, though. Like, the same thing could happen with Murray. Like, I don't know what to expect. I mean, if he gets shelled at home in a preseason game, I don't know what the reaction is going to be like. I wouldn't be shocked if it wasn't nice.
I know how it's going to be. I can tell you this. People will be writing in, phone lines open, like overdrive, can't wait for 4 o'clock tomorrow, and it'll be a preseason game.
Yeah, well.
Like, flat out. Like, that's just how it is. Like, there is a lot of anticipation. I'm reserving my judgment till we're 10, 20 games in. Can I talk about him daily? Absolutely. Can I say, hey, it's not going well or going very well? Because there is going to be swings. So we'll see how it goes. But I hope that it's just as smooth sailing for both of them, but something says that it might not be.
No,
we'll see.
It might not be. Like, Samsonov is different. Like, he's not getting nearly as much oxygen, but he is fighting for his own job, his own ice, his own career, you know?
Yeah.
And Dubas has said multiple times, we'll see how it plays out, but he has said that it is a competition. Doesn't matter the contract. It doesn't matter the history. It's whoever plays better will get the net. I think that's reasonable. I think that's the way it should play out.
Yep.
But, like, I wonder what Callie Yarncroke is thinking. Like, no one's talking about this guy. He signed a 4-year deal. He's new to town. Zach Aston Reese is a guy who's been around the league for a while. He's on a PTO. And it's Matt Murray. I'd say he's taken up 90% of the chatter among Leaf fans in terms of prognosticating what's going to happen in terms of the new guys in particular, taking Matthews out of it, Marner, Riley, Tavares, injuries. In terms of the new guys, 90%. And I don't blame anyone because I'm right there with them.
No kidding.
I'm
he was
saying
on
90%
a team that didn't make the playoffs last year and they weren't very good. And he didn't play very well. And then the Leafs decided that they wanted him. That's the storyline. Mm-hmm. And when you put that all together, what it equals is anxiety. In anticipation and watching.
Well,
you can't deny it. No matter what facet, if you're a fan of the game, if you're management, if you're us, like, you've got it. Let's just call it, you're curious anyway. You're like, what the hell is this guy going to do, man?
You are, but that position's not a plug-and-play position. Like, you know, Yarncroke, Zach Aston Reese, those guys are going to be farther down the lineup. Like, you know, they'll be maybe in and out of the lineup, that type of thing. All eyes, you need goaltending. Now, some people say, I'll replacement level goaltending, all of that type of stuff. You need saves. Like, you only notice, and I say this all the time, and I stand by it, you only notice goaltending when you don't have it. Like, that's the thing. Like, you know, there's 6-7 teams in this league that are like, we know if this guy's at the top of his game, we're not worried about it. Everyone else, it's like, tandem. One guy's playing well. Like, the Islanders got a nice tandem. If you look at Sorokin, he's played really, really well. Like, he's a good goaltender. So I look at some teams, their tandems are really strong, And I look, and the Leafs have the ability to have a strong tandem if both these guys play to their potential.
Sure.
Don't know. Haven't seen them stop a puck yet for the Leafs. So we'll see.
It's a very different experience when, when Belfour left, it was yearly. It was a new event. Like, who's coming in? Who are you going to try? And a lot of it was forced optimism. You know, I guess we'll believe in this guy. Okay, I guess hopefully this is the guy that gets it done. And I don't think Murray has been afforded the same because of where he's come from, Ottawa. That does, I think, factor in here. The fact that he's coming from Ottawa. You know, Bernier came from L.A. Freddie came from Anaheim. Campbell came from L.A. You know, the this monster, where we talked about him, he came from Sweden. You know,
that list is this bizarre to even hear you call out the names coming from other
Toskala
teams.
Yeah, Toskala came from San Jose. Like, all they did was go to California and pick up guys and bring them over here. This time they're going up the 401. You know, effectively, they're within the province, and they're bringing a guy that everyone's aware of and everyone's familiar with, and they know the track record. So, and it's not a scenario where with Freddie Anderson it was, well, they got John Gibson, so what are you going to do? You know, they have to flip somebody. With Bernier, it's like, well, they got Quick, so they got to flip someone. Here it was Ottawa saying, we got to get rid of this guy. Right. So who's willing to take him? And the Leafs were the ones to do it. So needless to say, that has changed the tone of the discussion. But ultimately, it's up to him. If he plays well, people will love him. You know, that's the way it goes with every sport. All right, week three in the NFL is officially off and running here with the Browns picking up a big win. They're 2-1. They could easily be 3-0. They let the Jets come in and take a win off them. Brissett looked good, and Watson's getting closer to returning. So what happens in the NFL if and when the Browns are actually a playoff team? To chat about that among many other stories throughout the NFL, maybe some college talk here as well. Here's former NFL quarterback, TSN and ESPN analyst, Jesse Palmer. What's up, Jesse?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing pretty well. What do you make of the Browns? I mean, they look good last night. Brissett's look pretty good. As I said, they could be 3-0, and Deshaun Watson's lurking in the background. I mean, do you see them as a playoff team? And if Watson's playing for them at that point and comfortable, could they be a team to be reckoned with?
I think they can. They've got a ton of talent, and I think we sort of knew coming into the season that really the MO was going to be this physical approach on offense, trying to get the run game established with Nick Chubb, and obviously we saw a lot of that last night. We saw a lot of that early this year. I've been really impressed with Jacoby Brissett, though, kind of just stepping in and just how much control he seems to have in this offense right now, just his body language, the confidence he's playing with, and just the decision-making. I mean, he's never putting this offense in a bad situation, in a bad spot. And you can just tell and see how the other 10 guys in the huddle just respond to him right now. And with all the talent they have on both sides of the ball and the different guys they've got that I think can impact games and break games open, I really do think this is going to be a team to contend with, especially when you've looked around the rest of the AFC earlier this year. And teams that you thought were going to make a run, teams like the Bengals or the Colts or even the Raiders and the Broncos that have all kind of struggled through a couple weeks early this year. You know, if there's stock in the Browns right now, I think at this point you got to buy based on what you've seen.
Jesse, what about the quarterbacking for Pitt on the other side last night? What do you make of it? I know Richard Sherman was on the pregame show, and he's like, you got to make a change early for maybe that kind of talk, but what do you make of it?
Yeah, it's just inconsistent, and I think that's probably the best way I'd put it. I think Trubisky's a guy that has a lot of ability and a lot of skill, and I think he makes the wow play and the wow throw and puts his guys into a position, I think, to make plays. But ultimately, I think what it really comes down to, obviously, is decision-making, and it's being a facilitator and sort of a point guard and a guy that can just kind of get that ball distributed, and I just don't think he does it enough. I think that there are throws and there are plays to be made that he's not always hitting on. Pittsburgh has a lot of other issues right now. Running the football again has been an issue for them, and there are some other holes, but it will not surprise me in the least bit at some point if Mike Tomlin does decide to go to Kenny Pickett and really kind of get the future cranked up, probably earlier than most people expect.
Jesse, if there were two games playing simultaneously, two young quarterbacks, let's say Mahomes and Allen going head-to-head, or Rodgers, Brady going head-to-head, which game would get your attention more?
Well, as a traditionalist, I would say Rodgers, Brady, but because of how the offenses have struggled, I don't know if I would go there. I think I would go. Would you first say there was it was two
Mahomes,
and who?
Mahomes and Allen.
I would go Mahomes Allen. No question. I mean, at this point right now, just because of what we already know about Mahomes, and obviously how he's playing early this season, but. I mean, you know, he might be passing the torch in terms of best quarterback in the NFL or most talented guy to Josh Allen based on what we've seen really from the end of last year into early this year. To me, it's just been remarkable to watch him. And he's Josh Allen now is playing like he plays like he knows he's the best player in the NFL. Like his body language, you kind of saw it in the playoff game last year against Kansas City when he threw the touchdown pass. Wait, it was a remarkable touchdown pass down the middle of the field to put his team up late in the game, and he acted like it really wasn't even that big of a deal. It was just kind of like that's kind of what I do. And so, I mean, the level that he's playing at right now, and those two guys, that to me is appointment viewing, must watch TV.
With Jesse Palmer, we have a character on this show. That's, I think, the best way to describe him, who comes on and he throws out hot takes, and he really speaks with a lot of conviction. But it's almost 100% wrong what he does.
No, it's not.
It's close to it. It's real close to it. And he is convinced the Bills are going to steamroll Miami. He thinks the Fish are frauds. I believe
and
that's
I'm
a
right
direct
with
quote.
Him. And I'm right
and
with
you're
him.
Right there with them. Bills are dealing with a lot of injuries, especially in the secondary going into this weekend. And Tua,
yeah.
Mike McDaniel, he seems to know what he's doing down there. Do you think there's a chance Miami could win this game outright?
I think there is, but it's only because of the injuries, honestly. And it's everything you mentioned. It's not just in the secondary, too, but a defensive tackle up front, I think, with Phillips and Oliver, I think that might miss this game. And, you know, it just provides opportunities, I think, for Miami. I mean, listen, when you have guys like Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle running around, it's scary. I mean, those guys have the type of speed that keep defensive coordinators up at night. And you really have to be careful how you decide you want to play them. And it's easy to say, well, we'll just play with two high safeties and take away the deep ball. First off, a lot easier to drop on a board than to go out and execute when Tyreek Hill's running down the boundary and Jalen Waddle's running down the seam. But if you don't have your two starting defensive tackles in the game, well, I mean, you're only going to have six guys in the box. How do you stop Miami's run game then? But to me, this really looks like, because of the injuries, this could be hopefully what we anticipate, just the scoreboard lighting up on both sides and just, you know, one quarterback and Josh Allen, who we just talked about, and another guy who's playing – maybe has the biggest chip on his shoulder of any quarterback in the NFL based on all the noise this past offseason, based on what people were saying about him last year in Tua. He looks like a different guy. So I think the Bills win the game, but I don't think it's a blowout.
Watching the talking heads discuss Tua, Jesse, it's pretty fascinating. It ranges from megastar already to still concerned, and it's not what it is thus far. Like, where do you fall on that guy?
Impressed, but you got to see it week in, week out. It would be my thing. I mean, there's no doubt he's got a lot of ability, and he's smart, and he can see the field. And when he's dialed in, he knows where he's going with the ball. He looks like he's in total control and command of the offense. But you know, the big part about, I think, in the National Football League is, you know, it's not like college football where, you know, if you're Alabama, you got to get up for Auburn, and you got to get up for Texas A&M, and maybe the SEC championship game, Ole Miss maybe, and then you're just going to win the rest of your games, no problem. NFL, you got to do it every single week, and you got to bring your A game to the park to get into the conversation of guys like we were just talking about, the Mahomeses, the Josh Allenses, the Rodgers, the Bradys. I mean, we got to see Tua put this together over the course of an entire season. He's off to a fantastic start so far, and I don't expect, you know, him to let up at any point. I mean, he's playing with a purpose to prove a lot of people wrong, but I'm not putting him in the upper tier echelon of NFL quarterback play just yet.
With Jesse Palmer, there was a time at Alabama when Tua, Jalen Hurts, and Mac Jones were all teammates. They were all the same team.
Yeah.
If they were all on the same team in the NFL and Jesse Palmer was the head coach or the GM, who would start, Who would be the backup? Who would be on the practice squad?
Oh, my God. It just sort of depends on, like who are your weapons? Do we have, like, big-time weapons at receiver?
Yeah, you got weapons.
Or do we just have guys?
Weapons. Let's say weapons.
Okay. Mac Jones is my starter then. And if we don't, if we just have dudes, just guys, then I would say Jalen Hurts is my starter based on his ability to run. And then, you know, Tua's kind of coming off the bench like he did for Jalen Hurts in the national championship game and beating Georgia.
Okay. I like it. I mean, Jalen Hurts has looked good, man. He looked good in the pocket last week. Like, he looked good in the pocket. We're riding Eagles to a Survivor this weekend. Please make
I'm an Eagles guy.
he likes spreading the field. Like, last year, there was a lot of two tight end sets, and everything was more condensed. Now that you bring in guys like A.J. Brown, and you got Devontae Smith, you got Quez Watkins, like, spreading the field, kind of like what they were doing at Alabama when he was in college. I just feel like he sees it better, and it just feels more natural to him. But you're right. I mean, would you guys say Philly surprise team in the NFL so far?
Yeah, but they've looked good, man. Like, really good through 2 weeks.
Like, the best team in the NFC, they look like.
Yes, I agree. They're tough. Go ahead, Noodles.
Well, I was just going to say, do you feel bad as a former quarterback for a guy like Joe Burrow who seems to run for his life every night?
Oh, my God. Yes, I do. we're just talking about Philly being maybe the surprise. Like, I mean, most disappointing team, Bengals, and an issue that was supposed to get fixed on the offensive line. The crazy part is, I mean, when you're watching these games, Joe Burrow's been sacked 13 times. He's actually avoided a bunch of sacks, too.
Yeah.
Just being Joe Burrow and being able to kind of move around and slip out of some of these. He's getting sacked one every 8 times he drops back to pass. Like, that's ridiculous.
It's insanity when you have golden goose like that. Like, it's insanity.
And the weapons at wide receiver you have, all of that is completely negated because of the inefficiency up front. And so, it's easy to go up on a board and go, well, we'll bring tight ends in and we'll help Lyle Collins and we'll just leave our backs in and Joe Mixon and he can just chip people and we'll just, you know, we'll just get three, you're going to get what, 2-3 receivers out every play. You're not going to win games in the NFL doing that. You've got to be able to get the weapons out. And right now they just don't have the ability. So to answer, that's a long-winded answer for your question. As a former quarterback, it's nauseating to watch that.
With Jesse Palmer. So there's a report in The Athletic. Herm Edwards was just let go down at Arizona State. And there's a report in The Athletic that an opposing coach recently told The Athletic that it wasn't hard to get intel on the season's team because some within Arizona State Athletics wanted a coaching change. In other words, we're leaking information. Have you ever heard of anything like that?
What information, though?
I guess game planning information or injury information. God. Like, that's my understanding. Wow. That would be my guess. But this, to me, you talk about a nuclear option, man. Oof. If this is true, how does Arizona State not blow out everyone involved in the program?
I don't know. That's like mutiny, right?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that before. I've heard programs and boosters and things trying to back channel to kind of to try to get head coaches fired and to try to create, you know, a narrative to get that done. But what you're talking about, what's being reported, I've never heard of that before.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, I don't, like, where do you start? How do you clean that out? I mean, essentially, he's they basically had almost their entire staff left the program. All their best players almost left the program, and I don't even know where you begin to remedy that moving forward.
Yeah, college football's in a different space now, isn't it? With the money the players can make, the transfer portal, like, it just feels so different today compared to 25 years ago.
Compared to when I played, I know in conference realignment as well. I mean, everything's changing. You're right. It's a completely different landscape, and it's just the way it's going. The college football playoff soon is going to change as well. And you're right. It's a completely different world than the one I was playing in the late 90s and 2000s, no doubt.
Yeah. You probably would have made a lot of money, I would think, back in your day at college.
If I was getting paid, yeah, if they were paying me in Canadian dollars, not so much. But like down in Gainesville, I'm sure I could have gotten a few haircuts out of it at least.
Yeah, I would think so. Oh, yeah. That must have been awesome being a quarterback down in Florida. What was that like?
I only remember half of it.
The good half.
Yeah, it was a trip for sure, man. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that sounds like.
You ever just put a suit on and wheel back to campus, go for some beers, or like, give us some info here.
I get down to Gainesville, you know, every once so often, but it's, you know, it's funny, man. It's like we were just talking about college football changing. Gainesville has changed a lot too in that time as well. And some of like the old mainstay bars that me and the guys used to go to, they're not even there anymore. So
I'm sure you could find
beyond the fact that
ones,
I feel like
Jesse.
A creepy old man now when I go back. I
right.
Well, you could wear an alumni coat. Do you have an alumni coat? Did they give you one?
No, dude, it's not like all the right moves. This isn't, you know.
Hang on a sec, buddy. You can't, Jesse, I got to tell you something.
What am I going to do?
I got to explain this comment. Like, I used to play for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and if you played for the Maple Leafs, you get an alumni jacket. I'm very proud of it, and I wear it often. If you had, like, a Giants jacket, wouldn't you? I mean, you're like a movie star, so it wouldn't mean that much to you. But I love the alumni jacket.
I do too. I'm a fan. I do have a Florida Gator alumni jacket somewhere.
Wow.
I do.
All right. Let's find it.
We need away.
We need to see
it. Tucked away.
All right, man. Well, we'll do this again down the road. Thank you for this. We appreciate it as always.
You got it, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good one. Have a great weekend, guys.
You too. There he is, Jesse Thanks. Palmer of ESPN, TSN. Good Canadian boy. Quarterback at Florida.
Oh. Could you imagine?
What a life. What a life.
I just... Oh, my God.
And he's...
It had to be just a shock to the system.
Oh, my God.
Walking around campus as the quarterback, and you look like that dude.
And he's so handsome. Yeah, could you imagine, like... And he's not, like, 4'8" either.
No.
It's like a big strapping man. Like, can you imagine just...
It must
Holy
have been absolutely
smokes.
Outrageous.
6'2", looks like a supermodel, and is the quarterback of the football team.
Just
can you imagine? Like,
no,
I wanted
no,
him
I can't.
To say like, what you said. Do you put a suit on and go back? He'd be like, I could wear a one-piece tracksuit and go back there. It doesn't matter.
He'd be a legend down there. Anyone that plays, you know, if you're a quarterback at a big school, and Florida is as big as it gets, man, in the SEC. Like, it's just got to be. It
must,
like,
must
that's
have
what it
been
shows.
Some handyman work at the bars. As soon as that guy walked in, you had to put up a fence and absolutely protect.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Or it's time to find a keg party. Get the hell out of there.
Exactly.
Go somewhere else. All right, Mike Johnson in about 20 minutes. We've got Graham DeLette coming up. Scotty Mitchell. Dear Hazy B is back into the rotation. Dear Hazy B at 6:30. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, thanks again to Jesse Palmer for joining us. He will join us multiple times throughout the NFL season, so that'll be fun moving forward. We've got a full slate of games this weekend in the NFL. The Jays are in action. I saw that Bradley Zimmer stat last night. He came in late in the game last night. He has the worst batting average by a player making at least 100 appearances in a season in MLB history.
It's okay, not good.
He's hitting 128. There's a guy named Ray Euler back in 68 with the Tigers who hit 135. Billy Bergen for the Brooklyn Super Buzz back in 09. He was hitting 139. And Mick Keheller of the 80s Cubs was batting 146. So, in other words, not only has Zimmer got the worst batting average in history, he's 7 points behind, or ahead if you want to phrase it that way, the next guy in line. Like, he's got to rack up hits. He's got to get hot to avoid history here. Not good.
How's he in the league? I mean,
defensively sound, and I don't know. He's like, he was on waivers.
It's like the guy when you play with your buddies, like peewee baseball. You're like, this automatic out. Like, Yeah, everybody played with a guy that's an automatic out.
Yeah, it's like, automatic.
Cannot
out.
Hit it. Yeah, it's an automatic out.
It's not good. I during the break, I just got a notice from
worst
my Apple TV.
Average.
I just got a notice from my Apple TV that the game is streaming tonight. A reminder.
That's right.
There you go.
Yankees Sox tonight. And yeah. As far I haven't seen anything new on broadcasting trades
Michael
or
Kay,
what.
Is he doing it?
I haven't seen that. Was that official? Is that made official? I guess we can look that up. But
I don't
think so. And like I think Katie Nolan is a part of it, and like she's a notorious Red Sox super fan. She's from Boston, and she's doing like color. But if Judge makes history tonight, and you've got a Red Sox super fan in there, that may add some insult to injury. The fact that it's not on the network down there in New York. But
do you think he's doing that tonight?
I don't know. I don't know if they're going to pitch to him. They walked him three times last night. Yeah. You know, if you're Boston, why would you give this guy any opportunity? Your season is effectively they're done. They're out. Like Boston's done. Yankees have clinched the playoff spot, so they're in. They're just fighting for ALE. So you're probably trying to play spoiler, but play spoiler with the other eight batters. Why would you give him anything to pitch right now if you're Boston? I wouldn't be shocked if they pitched around him throughout the weekend. I think he'll probably still get one.
Like, you're in the, like, I was playing golf with my buddy today, and he's like, you're a big league pitcher. Go at the guy. What are you
going
to say? Oh, you're not going to hit it off of me? Red Sox aren't even doing anything this year. So, you know what? I'm going to give you my best stuff, see if he can hit it. If he does, great.
He'll knock it to the moon.
He might.
That's the thing. Like
that's the thing. How bold do you think these guys could be? He'll crush them. But
yeah. Oh, so that like being on SportsCenter the rest of your life is that guy like Steve Traxel that threw it to Mark McGwire. You don't want to be that guy, but is it really like those pitches that Waka were throwing him are just like dirt ball.
Exactly. Yeah. Like that's the game plan. I think it comes down to the rivalry too. Like if you're Cora, you're like, I don't want this guy to have any success. And like he may be sitting on 60 or 61 when they're in Toronto on Monday. Like the Yankees are up here early next week. That'll be wild if it's a Canadian who catches the ball. If it's a Blue Jay who catches number 62. Good luck trying to get that ball across the border. All right, hour two coming up. Mike Johnson, Graham Dillette from Quail Hollow in the President's Cup. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.